Merry Christmas.
If I were a shepherd, I
Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. To our hopes and to our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. 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 Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Thank you. of peace, mighty God, his name shall be Emmanuel. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever.
I don't know if there's a more powerful word in the English language than Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we celebrate at this time of year. I have a friend and his church, they cancel the service after Christmas because it's like hangover Sunday, right? Like everybody's, like Melissa said, they want to stay home and watch in pajamas, which is fine, and that's great. I had a malfunction this morning too. I just threw on some clothes, so. I'm reminded of how high the stakes are this time of year as well. I had a conversation with a member of this church who has a roommate, and this roommate lost their mother during the Christmas season. Many of us seem to have lost loved ones at this time of year or around this time of year. And I asked them, what are they doing for Christmas? And they said, literally, the roommate swallows a bunch of sleeping pills, goes to sleep, and waits up for Boxing Day to arrive. Maybe you're watching today, maybe you're this person, or maybe you're someone who can empathize with that person. I'm glad that we're having a service for you. I also know this is the time of year when people who wrestle with addictions struggle the most. And so if you're online and you're one of those people or can empathize with those people, this service is for you. So I know the stakes are high this morning, even though few of us are here, and maybe a few of us are online, but it's not about how many, it's about the one. And so I want to offer up a prayer for the one and for you, if you're the one this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, you gave us your word. As we just sang, your word made flesh, Jesus. And we thank you for your word in the Bible, which is a light for our feet and a lamp for our path. And in a world with so much darkness, in a season of so much darkness, in a time when many are struggling, I pray that today, as your word is proclaimed, that light would come. And that you, Jesus, would manifest yourself in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, would you go ahead of the words of this message? And whether people are online or they're in person, would you prepare their hearts for you to move in? And for you to bring hope. I ask this in the name of our dear Savior Jesus. Amen. So belated well wishes to all of you online or here in person who weren't able to make it to our special Christmas Eve service. I think it's still okay for me to say to you, Merry Christmas. And I know it wasn't the normal Christmas that we were hoping for. Nevertheless, I hope that every one of you was able to have meaningful time with someone or someone's very close to you yesterday as we celebrated God's gift of Emmanuel, Christ with us. It dawned on me earlier this week that this is my last service with you of the year, right? Melissa already mentioned that. This is a time of transition, a liminal season when it's neither feeling like 2021 and it's not yet 2022. We're in this in-between time. This is our last worship service of the year. And so I want this morning's service to function for us as a kind of year's end service. And year's end, as Melissa mentioned, tends to be a time when we reflect. We reflect on the year that's gone by. And I think we also, maybe even more so, think forward to the year that's yet to come. And so I would invite you to consider this morning's message less a sermon and just more of a meditation. And I invite you to meditate with me this morning. The word hindsight, which you saw on the screen earlier, is defined as understanding of a situation or event only after it has happened or developed, right? So this is about hindsight right now. 2021 has happened, right? For all intents and purposes, it's behind us. So what new understandings do you and I have? What new understandings have we gleaned from the past 12 months? What have we learned from 2021? What did this year, soon to be last year, teach us? Well, 2020, so going back a year, was mostly a pandemic year. It was almost 10 months of pandemic, but 2021, this year, has been fully pandemic. It will be 365 days where the breaking news every day had to do with coronavirus. I don't know how that makes it breaking news, because it sounds like old news to me, but it's been a year of pandemic from start to finish. And I think one of my takeaways for this year, and just meditating with you, is that pandemic has shown us in such a clear and unmistakable way that we're all in the same boat. We're all the same, regardless of our race or our nationality or our class or any other thing that tends to divide us. Really, as humans, pandemic has affected every one of us. We have this saying in Canada, right? We're in this together, right? Sam Roberts, one of my favorite Canadian rock stars, he has a song about us being in this together. But you know what? We're not just in this together as Ontarians or as Canadians or even as North Americans. We're in this together as sons of Adam and as daughters of Eve. And in this regard, pandemic has been a good thing, because it's brought our focus back onto our common humanity. For instance, when Italy's hospitals were overwhelmed and they had a shortage of ventilators and their COVID deaths were climbing dramatically in the fall of 2020, our hearts went out to Italians, even as our hearts went out to people from India in the spring of this year when their COVID numbers got out of hand, in the same way that our hearts are going out to fellow Canadians in British Columbia, in the areas affected by the flooding. So it doesn't matter whether it's a Canadian or an Italian or someone from India. Pandemic has helped us to have a heart for everyone. We share a common ancestry in Adam and in Eve. We share the same planet. And of course, the Bible is very clear on this, but it's something we forget. Even believers, Bible-reading Christ followers, forget that we share a common humanity, and it's good for us to focus on that. For me and many others too, I believe pandemic has gotten us to focus on our sameness to a degree that maybe we had never thought of or focused on before. Again, a good thing. Takeaway number two. This past year of pandemic has kind of spotlighted something for me. You're invited to meditate on whether this is true for you. But I think the general sentiment among many here in Canada, particularly now that most of us are double vaxxed or triple vaxxed, is that maybe the government is just being a little too cautious. Right? Like if on a pendulum we could swing between being overly cautious and overly cavalier or undercautious, I think many sense that maybe we're being a little overly cautious. And I want to say that from a heart perspective, from a love your neighbor as yourself perspective, this is a good thing. Better to err, if we're erring, better to err in the direction of being overcautious versus the opposite. Can you picture in your mind's eye what life would be like if our governments and corporations and all the rest were like, damn the torpedoes, this is just a minor little virus, it's business as usual. Think of how many more lives would have been lost. No, we endured lockdowns and economic slowdowns. Why? For the sake of life and for the sake of love, love of neighbor. And we did it not for society's strongest or healthiest or youngest or most resilient. We did it for the sake of society's weakest, most vulnerable, the aged. And it wasn't just Canada that did this awesome love your neighbor as yourself. It's what most countries and most governments around the world did during pandemic. And it makes me think of Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. I think many of you know this parable. In it, the king, and in the parable, the king represents Jesus, not at his first coming in Bethlehem, but at his second coming on the clouds of glory. The king will say to the righteous, this is a quote from Matthew 25, verse 40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So I think the sacrifices that we've made and that governments have made and that first responders have made and that essential workers have made during pandemic, inconvenient though they may have seemed and may still seem at times, they were done for the well-being of the least. And as such, we've been honoring Jesus. People have been honoring Jesus, whether they know it or not. One last hindsight, and this one gives me hope as a person with a passion to be faithful to Jesus' great commission, as a passion for evangelism, not in the old school sense, but in the sense of befriending people so that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and have hope for today and bright hope for tomorrow. A takeaway that I have from pandemic that I'm meditating on is this, that we humans want to live. We want to live. Every emotionally and mentally healthy human being wants to live. And so pandemic has shone a spotlight on the truth of that scripture statement from Ecclesiastes 4, verse 11, that he, God, has planted eternity in the human heart. We humans want to live forever, and if we can't envision living forever, at the very least, we feel we want to live a lot longer than the 50 to 90 years that most of us expect to live. And no faith gives us hope, greater hope for eternity than the Christian faith. No religious system compares to the Christian religious system. In other faith systems, if there is an eternity, whether we get there or not depends upon us. And it's really hard to know if you've done enough. It's about do, do, do. Or it depends on God ignoring his justice in favor of extending mercy to a few who have supposedly done enough. In the Christian faith, God fulfills both the requirements of his justice and extends mercy. Justice and mercy meet, they kiss in Jesus Christ the Son, our Savior. And this is good news. As Christians, we don't just believe so that we can live in eternity with Jesus in whatever you think eternity is going to be like. There are benefits for the here and now as well. There's work to do in the here and now as well, which I'll talk about shortly. However, I wonder, are we Christ followers keeping enough of an eye on eternity? Are we keeping enough of an eye on eternity? Are we allowing our belief in God's promise to us regarding eternity to be our hope, even as it was the Apostle Paul's hope, even as he commends it to Titus as his hope in Titus chapter 1, verse 2? Elsewhere, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and following, Paul writes, this is so powerful, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, what does Paul say in the last verse there? Encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, are we encouraging another enough with the words of the hope of the resurrection? We should be. Let's do this, River City. Let's encourage one another with these words, and let's consider what encouragement this is to our unbelieving neighbors and family members and friends who are yearning for eternal life because that same desire has been planted in their hearts by God the Father. I know I said that last insight was going to be my final insight. I do have one more. Pandemic, I believe, has shown us that we're not very good, certainly not good enough yet. There's a hopeful word there, yet, at living in peace with others. Here's a quote from an online devotional that I used this past week. It brings what I'm talking about here into sharp relief. Our world seems to be, this is the quote, our world seems to be in a state of constant judgment of one another. There's judgment in the media, fashion judgment. See, I just threw my clothes on this morning. Politics, community, schoolyard, social media. Have any of you been unfriended by someone lately? And of course, religion. And it has been painful to me, and I imagine it's been painful to all of you as well, to see how divided we've become during pandemic. How even families have been divided, even Christian families. And so maybe it's important, maybe it's necessary that I remind us of our calling in Christ. This is from Paul in Romans 12, verse 8. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This puts the responsibility for achieving and experiencing peace in our relationships squarely on our shoulders, as far as it depends on you. In other words, don't tell me about what the other person must do for peace to be restored in your relationship with them. Don't tell me how the other person has ostracized you, judged you, hurt you, or let you down. What can you do? What can you do? Have you done all you can do? Would you dare share your story with me or someone else who might dare to hold you accountable? And then after they've heard your story, ask you this courageous question. So, Daryl, in light of what you've shared, can you think of anything more that you could possibly do to live at peace with, and then fill in the blank with a name? Can you think of anything more that you could do to possibly live at peace with so-and-so? And then, more important by far, if Jesus asked you about that relationship, would you be able to look Jesus in the eye and assure him that you've done all you can to achieve or restore peace? Have you extended enough grace? If the tables were turned, have you extended as much grace as you would hope to receive if you were in their position? Have you extended as much grace as you hope God will extend to you? Have you practiced enough empathy? Have you sought to understand what it is they're saying and where it is they're coming from? Have you validated their feelings and perspective, even though you may not share their feelings or perspective? And notice from Paul, our Christian calling is to live at peace with everyone. It doesn't get more inclusive than that. What if God is wanting us to take away from this pandemic the fact that we're nowhere near living at the level of being peacemakers that he wants us to be at? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And there's an amazing part of that command. It opens with a picture of possibility. It's an optimistic picture. As I read that, God, through Paul, is saying, where achieving peace with others is concerned, far more is possible than you might think or imagine. The possibility for peace truly exists. And guess what? Good news. So much of it depends upon you. You want peace? Then you make peace. You make peace. And if you don't know how to make peace, then you guess what? You've come to a great discovery. Because that's when we come to the end of ourselves, we come up against our need for God. And that's when we take this to prayer, right? We pray, Father God, I know that you're calling me in places like Romans 12:8. You're calling me to live at peace with everyone. And Lord Jesus, you modeled this so incredibly well during your life and ministry. You made it look easy, though I know it wasn't easy even for you. Would you help me, Holy Spirit, to fulfill this calling in my relationship with? And Holy Spirit, would you go ahead of me and soften so-and-so's heart? And God, would you open the door a crack today? Give me courage for what I need to do. And would you receive the glory and the praise for any peace that results? May this be part of my Christian witness for Jesus' sake. Amen. That's how we pray to God when we're at the end of ourselves. We just name it to him. We glorify him and we ask him to empower us as he's promised through the presence and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, we've looked back. Now I want to look forward in anticipation toward this new year that we're on the brink of, to 2022. What goals have you established for yourself or for your family in 2022? What changes do you want to make so that 2022, you can live it even better than you lived 2021? Right? Not just as persons, but as followers of Jesus Christ. My dictionary defines foresight as the ability to predict or the action of predicting what is or what will happen or what will be needed in the future, right? Foresight. It's kind of thinking about, okay, if things go as good as they could possibly go, or if things go as bad as they could possibly go, how do I prepare for that? And certainly we've been taught how things can go as bad as they can possibly go over a pandemic. And guess what? Flipping a page on the calendar or flipping your screen on your cell phone to 2022 isn't going to mean pandemic is over, sadly. We will still live with this, and our lives will be affected by this for some weeks, months, and depending who you talk to, years to come. But the one thing pandemic has given us is more time. As I shared last Sunday, we have the gift of more free time. Now, part of this is due to activities being canceled, things that we used to be active in. Part of this is due to things running at lower capacities. The gym that I'm part of, they used to be open from like 5 a.m. to like 11 p.m. Now they're open like 8 a.m. or 6 a.m., sorry, to like 8 p.m. Part of it's due to our working from home and not having to commute. Part of it is waiting for test results, not being able to go to work, whatever. There's many reasons why we have more time. And free time is wonderful. And there's a time to veg, a time to do nothing, a time to engage in mindless activities, escape-type activities, especially when life is unpredictable and when there's so much that we thought that was in our control and have discovered really isn't in our control, which makes me think of this passage right now, James 4, verse 13 through 18, God's word. Now listen, you who say, and as I read this, I know that I've done this, and I'm not supposed to. Maybe when I read this, you'll realize that you've done this and you shouldn't. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So that leads into sins of omission, which is a topic for another day. But a lot of us have made plans like we're master and commander of the future, and pandemic has shown us that we're not. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. Deo Valente, it's a DV. My grandmother used to send us cards for our birthday and talk about their next visit to us, and it would always end with DV. We come to see you next month, DV. And I was like, to my parents, what does that mean? Deo Valente, God willing. If it is the Lord's will. Back to my little reflection on time and not wanting to waste all the gift of time that we've been given. There are dangers with vegging too much. I spelled those out last Sunday. Beyond the dangers I spelled out, let's just keep in mind the fact that we are kingdom citizens and there's kingdom work that our Lord is counting on us to do. Let's also keep in mind that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in us. So let's not use all of our discretionary time to veg. Let's use some of it to grow our relationship with Jesus. Make time to serve Jesus. Make time to take care of our temples, our physical bodies. Again, I touched on this in a recent message. Knowing how much things change in our world today and how quickly they can change, let's at least use some of our time to grow stronger physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Let's engage in 2022 in a type of basic training for success in life. A saying, I know my kids are watching at home right now. They're adults, but they're still my kids. A saying that I've shared with them so often and will continue to share is, don't pray for lighter loads. Pray for a stronger back. Right? And develop a stronger back. Don't just pray for an easier life. God, make it easier. How about we pray and develop some strength? Let's train to be tougher so that we can be more resilient through all the ups and downs of life. And that's why we need community as well, right? Because that can be a hard road if you're doing it, if you're slogging it out on your own. Why do we come in together as a community, as a church, so we can encourage each other? When one is up, another might be down, and this person has extra strength to support the one who's down. That's the grace of being part of a community. When one family is up, they're not just, hey, celebrating the fact that they're up and everything. They're helping the families that are struggling in their church community, starting with their church community. That's the benefit of community, because it's impossible to always be up. Let's make verse 12 of the oldest psalm in the Bible. Do you guys know what the oldest psalm in the Bible is? Just throw it out there. Anyone? Psalm 90. Psalm 90 was written by Moses, who lived some 300 years before David, who wrote most of the psalms, or about half of them. Psalm 90, verse 12, is a beautiful word of wisdom. It's one of the guiding verses of my life. And it's a prayer that I would encourage us to make in 2022. Maybe a daily prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I know it's different than on the screen. That's how I memorized it. On the screen it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, in this life, you and I only get so many days. We don't know the number, and I would say thankfully, because imagine the stress of knowing the number. We don't know the number, but we know they are numbered. So let's make good use of them. Let's live in such a way that months or years down the road, if God gives us the time, we can look back and live at peace, knowing that we used the time that God gave us wisely and well. We find encouragement for this type of living from the Apostle Paul. I'm reading from Colossians 3, verses 22 and 23. And I love the New International Version here. Most other translations make this only about work, as in your job, as in the thing that helps you pay the bills. Paul makes it much broader, and I think the NIV shows that. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Whatever you do. This is not just a posture about life at work, it's a posture about life generally. And so River City, in 2022, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. One of our tech-savvy people prepared a multimedia video building off the verses in this morning's message and the themes covered in this morning's message. It is hope-filled. It calls us to press forward into 2022 with Jesus as our master and commander, loving him, serving him, following him, growing in him. He will lead us to new and brighter horizons in the year to come. Amen. Amen.
Hey, we're going to sing one more song together. Why don't you stand up with us? So, I don't know if you've seen the little laptop we have here, but it runs like all the background music, and we found this great gospel choir to sing with us this last song. It's going to be amazing, and I wish there were more of you here, but those of you who are here are in for a real treat.
So I'll run to the Father again and your son for redemption.
Okay, well, there we go. We made it through. And I didn't fall asleep. You were charging it up there, Daryl. Thank you so much for that message this morning. And I just want to encourage you to keep pressing in. We had a wonderful Love Your Neighbor campaign, and I was so excited about how that turned out. I got to catch up with James Carroll from Mission Without Borders this past week. And he posted on social media, maybe you want to like Mission Without Borders and start following them. And hopefully he'll be able to come in and share a little bit about what they're doing in the new year. I also wanted to let you know if you are participating in some special end of year giving. A lot of people have special giving that they give at the end of the year to reach a certain level with their taxable receipts and so forth. That needs to come in by December 31st. And so if you're planning on doing that, please take advantage of the different ways that we have of giving if you'd like to support River City Church some more before the end of the year. Okay? So without too much further ado, we're going to wrap it up for today. And we're going to be back next week with another episode in Hindsight Foresight. And I hope that you have a great week and that God is with you. I know He is. But may God be with you. Have a good one.
And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your